You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I have Matt Moreno in with me. Look, I was going to give you some grief. Look who's here. The guy who traded on me went with some other station yesterday.
But I can't help it if I'm popular, Steve. I'm making up for lost time. It would never happen in elementary school, junior high, high school, college. So I'm making up for lost time.
You write your own story, buddy. You write your own story.
It makes me feel good, Steve.
You create your own history.
I let them build me up, and then I come in here and...
Then I'll tear you down. It's how life is, man.
I like the way you say my last name, though.
Moreno. Moreno,
how are you?
I say your name, but I say mine. Hey, big weekend, kind of. Well, we're going to talk about the past basketball games. We're going to talk about the future basketball games. We're going to talk about a lot of crazy stuff. Did you watch obviously everybody's seen it a thousand times, the Thursday night game with Cleveland and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I got some text messages from my friends who were watching. I was kind of working on stuff after the basketball game, and all they said was Myles Garrett. And I said, I wonder what happened. And then I went to Twitter, and then it wouldn't stop scrolling fast enough. Everybody was talking about it.
The memes were funny today.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah. Everyone's arguing about it. Some people think, Mason Rudolph should be suspended.
It would be the United States if people weren't arguing about it. Everyone has the right answer.
Yeah.
I'm Fraser Crane. Do you know who that is?
No.
You're too young, aren't you?
No, I'm too young.
Fraser Crane, a guy who hosts this radio show. I can solve everybody else's problems, but not my own, pretty much.
Yeah.
Everybody has that idea. Oh, I can fix yours. I just can't fix mine. Shut up. So that's what the internet world is.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Everyone has advice, but they don't know how to take their own.
That's exactly. Welcome to my world. It was a pretty big deal. I was typing my story. I went home to write, and I heard the announcers, those guys, whoever it was. Oh, hey, what? And I got up and I watched it, and I said, wow, it's not a surprise to me. Do you remember the thing in Detroit? You were way young, probably, with the fight in Detroit.
NBA?
Pistons, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that.
It happens. Something happens.
Yeah.
I like the headlines. Oh, it's a shock. That's not a shock.
No.
These guys are mean dudes.
It's more of a shock that it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And it's football. You get, heated battles and you get... Do you think the quarterback should have been suspended?
Probably. I mean, I can understand that point of being the instigator and you started it.
He started it?
In a way. I know that's the people that are really focusing on that part of it. To me, you look at what made you say, whoa, and it wasn't anything that the quarterback did. It was what Myles Garrett did.
I saw it too. I agree with you because I saw the tape again because I didn't see it the first time. I didn't see that.
Well, and all the clips that came out were all of the second part of it. It was just the starting it from a certain point, which is everything on the internet starts at a certain point whenever there's videos like that. And
I didn't see him try to take the helmet off until I saw it.
Yeah.
Until I saw people talking about it. So you ever been in a fight?
Yeah.
Probably when you were younger and dumber. So what do you try to do when you win a fight? When you're in a fight?
What do you mean?
You do whatever you can to win a fight.
Especially me.
Okay, especially you. It's you and everybody else. Yeah. So the one thing that the quarterback did, I'm not trying to defend him. What are you going to do? You're going to do whatever you can to win that fight. He was going to lose that fight no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
So he grabbed the helmet. What else are you going to grab?
Yeah.
Honestly, what are you going to grab? But the thing in front of you, and that's kind of how it started, but it's, whatever. And the other guy, Myles Garrett. What did he grab? Well, he grabbed it because it was there.
Yeah.
What's he going to grab?
Yeah.
And there you go. The swinging of the helmet, that's what was the craziness. Yeah,
that's where you reach a different level.
Right. But
Steve, there's a little bit of confusion in my mind, and I'm wondering if some of the listeners might be getting the same thing. The play before the swinging of the helmet incident, wasn't that when the quarterback got sacked by Garrett and the quarterback was so mad at him and he grabbed his helmet like he was, I don't know what he was planning to do, but this is...
What are you talking about? The play before?
The play before the swinging of the helmet incident. The story I heard was that the quarterback grabbed Garrett's helmet.
You're talking about the same play.
It was no. Well, maybe I am talking.
You're talking about the same play. You're confused. So it all happened in one.
Yeah, it was all one sequence.
It was all one sequence.
So Garrett tried to grab his helmet, and so
that's what we're talking about.
The quarterback tried to grab Garrett's helmet, and Garrett retaliated by grabbing the quarterback's helmet, and this was all in the same play.
Correct. Correct.
Nothing happened in the play before when he got sacked.
No.
It was one of those things where Rudolph took his chance. It didn't work, and then you better be ready for what was coming next, and he wasn't ready.
And the second he tried to go after him,
yeah.
That was the stupid thing, if that's the right word.
Well, hitting the guy with the helmet in the guy's head, that was where he went over the line.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about. I mean, that's the worst. When you're in a fight, you're going to try to do whatever you can and try to be brave like Rudolph did.
Yeah.
He should have just stayed back. After he did that, he was like...
Well, that's when you hide behind the offensive lineman. And Pouncey obviously came in and kind of tried to play not the peacemaker, but the difference maker.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, for me, I wasn't surprised. You see it. You see it. You see it a lot. Come on, you see it in the NBA. Back in the day when... what's his name? You wouldn't mind know this. Back in the day, in the mid-70s, when... Kupchak or whoever got punched in the face from the Lakers. I'd have to go through some history of mine. But that was just... He got cold cocked and blah blah blah, and here we are, 45.
Mitch Kupchak.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was who was the coach at Houston? Tom.
Oh boy!
I'd have to when we go to break. I'll Google it real quick. God, these names. I see it in front of me. Tom Janovich guy.
Yeah.
Rudy Tomjanovich. It happens all the time. Some of the punches just don't connect. Larry Bird and Magic, I think.
Well,
it was.
And it's funny, as much as people are outraged and want to be outraged, we remember those moments and we go, how cool is that? Yeah. They got
wait.
Brawl on the court.
And tell me, what do you mean by outrage? What does that mean? Are they really?
Yeah, I think there's people there's a lot of people who said he needs to be out of the game forever. He needs to go to jail. Yeah. And that was a lot of what I saw right after it took place.
Okay.
Everyone's, he should be out of football forever.
Well, who was the center for the Detroit Pistons? You were talking about the bad boys back in the day.
Lambeer.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people wanted him arrested.
Oh, yeah. That group was just a bunch of malcontents who played basketball well together, in a brutal form.
Well, and I think this is a big part of the fear of when people storm the court or the field because of things like this, where someone loses their cool, has essentially a weapon in his hand as a football helmet and swings it at somebody and takes a swing because he's just trying to get to the locker room.
Right. Again, outrage. Okay, go ahead. What are you going to do about it?
People like to be mad, Steve. I don't know if you know that.
No, I just like to be grumpy.
Yeah,
grumpy. There's a difference. I think it's funny. Not funny. I don't think the incident's funny. I think it's people's outrage.
The
really?
Response.
Yeah, the response to it is just come on. It's not like you didn't think this was going to happen.
So is that incident a reflection of anything about what's been going on in the NFL in recent times? It seems like we have had incidents in the past, but nothing quite like this.
I don't play a psychologist on...
What are you talking about? This is... I thought that was your whole
shtick.
No.
I don't play a psychologist in real life, but I do here. Yeah, I think so. It's just the world we live in today. Everyone's angry and want to prove that they're tougher than the next guy.
Is it a reflection of what the coaches want them to do?
No, I don't. No, I think we're overthinking that for that. But it's who you are and what you do. And
it's also the sport.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What is their job?
To beat the crap out of you. Honestly. And they've let that not happen.
Right. And I think that could also be, if we're going to play psychologists, that could be part of it is, hey, I have a free chance to do something that I haven't been able to do because I get flagged for it every time.
To the quarterback.
Yeah.
Who can't hit anyway.
And that if the quarterback comes after you, you're saying, wait, this is not equal. I don't ever get to hit you, and I get flagged if I am a little bit too aggressive.
So, Tom, have you seen the incident?
I have seen the last part of it. Apparently, I have not seen the beginning part, just from what the pundits, the guys that were about it.
It was just one play. I was going to show you where the guy, where Rudolph tried to get his helmet off. I didn't see that until the last minute. And I'm thinking, okay, but what's he going to grab if he's going to try to be tough? He's got his shoulder pads. He's got his...
Was Rudolph trying to get him off of him, or... What was his
probably,
purpose,
yeah, I know
think?
I would be trying to. How are you going to try to?
Get away from me. Get away from me. Yeah. And he just grabbed whatever he could.
Or going for his neck to get away. Have you ever been in a fight? You do whatever you can to win that fight.
True.
I mean, honestly, what would you do? What would you do? Do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, or guess what? The guy's going to kick the crap out of you. You know who I'm going to choose in that fight? Me.
Okay, so Garrett is what, suspended for the rest of the season?
Yes.
And probably for the playoffs, too, apparently. Oh,
I believe they said playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs? Cleveland in the playoffs? Let's take a break here. We come back and talk about Arizona stuff. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Oh, you remember that time that Tyson bit the ear?
I do remember that.
It's just craziness. This is sports macho people trying to be macho. That's all.
Well, and then you're expected to turn it off.
Right. I'm sure you saw.
That was Evander Holyfield's year.
That was 1998.
Yeah.
I was kind of joking because it happens every UFC. What the heck do they do every day?
Well,
Beat the crap out of each other.
Well, I mean, they were bumping heads and Tyson was right there and he could see the ear was right there and he said, oh,
I'll chew this. Come on, this is sports. We got macho people trying to be macho stuff and, you know, heat of the moment. You do what you do and we'll move on. They'll get suspended.
That goes to your point of you do everything you can to win the fight. Including biting someone's ear off.
In the moment, come on. If you put in a weird situation, you're at a bar and blah, blah, someone comes up to you and he says, "You blah, 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 what are you going to do?" Okay, yes, I am. You're not. Depends what it is, obviously. You know, civil minds. Hey, so you realize that Arizona plays a football game tomorrow?
They do. It won't even be started yet.
What a one-sided affair, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, there's more intrigue about how many points will they get beat by or how many points will Oregon score than giving Arizona any chance.
I think it was one of the co-writers. Did you see the tweet, who's going to score more tonight, San Jose State or Oregon? What did San Jose State finish, 39?
39.
Oh, that's going to be done in the first half.
Yeah.
Probably.
It might have been who's going to score more, San Jose State or Arizona, in terms of Arizona football tomorrow.
Yeah, it's not good.
What's the latest? Three touchdowns?
Oh, four. It's 27, isn't it?
I believe so.
27.
Well, then what is it going to be when they play Utah, for crying out loud?
19, 20.
Oh, really?
It's here. Remember, it's here.
Well, yeah, but isn't Utah ranked higher than Oregon?
That means nothing.
Okay.
It does, right?
And it's a defensive team. Yeah. They wouldn't mind winning 19-0.
Right. As long as they win.
Yeah.
As long as they win. Tom, I'll give you 24 points. I'll give you the Cats.
Oh, I was going to ask you how much you were going to put on the Cats.
On the Cats?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Isn't that the smart bet now that everybody is just saying they got absolutely no chance to even cover the spread?
If you like losing money.
Four touchdowns.
Well, it's a 4.5, actually. It's because it's 27 points. Don't forget those extra points, which are very important for Arizona. It's just sad.
What do you think, Matt? Can the Cats cover the spread?
No. I wanted to say yes, that there's a way if everything falls in line, but I don't think that everything's falling in line right now.
Okay.
Who starts tomorrow, and does it really matter?
Yes, I think it does.
It does matter?
I think so.
Okay, well, tell me who starts and then explain
yourself. Grant Gunnell. I think so too. Nearly insane to not start him.
I agree.
I think it's almost insane to play them both, but that's the plan. They're going to play them both unless Kevin Sumlin is, you know, trying to be sneaky, which I don't know what he has to gain from being sneaky at this point.
Just win, Mr. Sumlin.
Yeah, I mean, I think Grant Gunnell, we've all seen, it doesn't take, you know, a veteran football player, someone who's been around the game forever, to understand that they look better with Grant Gunnell at quarterback right now. Mm-hmm.
And you know, Matt, if it's going to be his team next year, what the heck?
Yeah,
it's just starting from now on.
Yeah.
Which, of course, the people who are behind Khalil saying, well, you know, here's this guy. He's been here, done that. He can still kind of try to pull it through for you. Don't you think, though, that he's been given enough chances?
Yeah, and I was one of the people who I thought you owed him something because he brought you attention back in 2017. He was able to get on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
And what'd that do?
Nothing. And I think at this point, what do you owe him? I mean, I think it would be one thing if he was not fine with staying on the sideline. But I think when they show him, he's clapping. He seems supportive. Mm-hmm. If he was throwing a fit and, you know, angry that he was taken out of the game, I think it would be one thing. But I think if he's going to be fine with staying on the sideline, then go with Grant Gunnell. And the thing is, he's going to have to play in games where the opponent looks like Oregon as he goes throughout his career. Why not just get it started now and see what he can do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Khalil should have opted to be a wide receiver after all?
Well, no. I still think he has a chance to do that, to play another position at the next level, because he's not a quarterback. Haven't we determined that?
Yeah.
This level or any level?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very effective football player, but he's not. He's probably not a quarterback.
But if he's going to play wide receiver, don't we need a little more meat, a little more size?
Size, yes. Tall wise, yes. I don't know. You could put him somewhere else.
He would be an interesting fit at receiver. The one thing that I do have a perspective on is, and it was a long time ago, but in high school there were moments there. I've seen him at camps in different settings where he, and this is where the kind of "are you a practice player" conversation started. He would go and play receiver at times in some of these camps, and I would ask him, "Well, what was that about? Why you don't? You are so adamant whenever we talk that you want to be a quarterback, that you think you're a quarterback, you believe you're a quarterback. So why even give people the option of seeing what you look like at receiver?" And his answer is always, "I get bored.
Yeah,
I just get bored."
No, and no slight to him, because good athletes at that level, guess what they do? They get bored.
Yeah,
because they're that much better. Ayton was that same had that same label, correct?
Yeah,
because he was better than their other guys.
Yeah,
what do? In order to get better, this is a philosophy of mine. I don't know if it's true or not, but you in order to get better, guess what you do? You play people who are better. That's what makes you better. Working and all that repetition, all that gets you good. But better, you have to get beat. You have to play against better competition to get better.
And so in those moments when he would go play receiver, I said, he could be a receiver. He's got really great hands.
And
he's not the best route runner, but he's got really great hands. And we know what he can do when he has the ball in his hands and he's able to get in the open field.
This is a dumb question. I think I know my own answer. But how much blame do you put on – give me some blame. 100% blame. You got the whole bowl of blame. Give me someone. Sumlin, give me someone. Khalil, give me someone. Mazzoni, give me wherever you want to put make this pie.
It's tough. I probably put most of it on Khalil. I probably put 65% on Khalil.
Okay, because?
It's within his control.
Yes.
A lot of what is going on and what has gone wrong is within his control. There were moments, and I know the conversation, I think, outside of Tucson, I think people here and who follow the program understand that some of the blame is on Khalil. I think when I read what people are writing outside of Tucson, people who are outside observers who maybe don't pay attention to every single thing that's going on, they put a lot of the blame on Kevin Sumlin.
They don't know.
And I think he does deserve some of the blame because he's let this continue.
Mm-hmm.
He could have put a stop to that a long time ago and said, "I'm going to bench you unless you do what is most successful to this team."
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done that.
Let me ask you guys this. What if Stoops was still the head coach last season? Let's just take last season, Khalil's second season. What do you think would have happened with Stoops still in charge?
Well, Khalil Tate wouldn't be here. It's that simple. Khalil Tate came here because he could play quarterback here for a coach that had a certain style of play that fit him.
What's your point, Tom?
Well, I mean, his successful year was under Stoops.
Mm-mm-mm. Who?
Khalil.
No, it's under Rich Rodriguez.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering where you're going with this.
Help! You got to help me, Steve. Remember, I'm getting old, and I'm not getting any younger.
I can't shut your mic off.
Okay. Yeah. What would have happened if Rodriguez was still the head? You know what my question was, but you were just going to let me.
I didn't know. I thought you were going hypothetical in a weird way.
No, that would have been weird. Yeah.
We'll talk about that, although I kind of don't want to. What would have happened? Rich had him for, let's face facts. He had a great month. Great month.
That is the thing that people forget most.
In my lifetime, I've had a great year. After that, I've had a great year. You understand what I'm saying? He caught lightning in a bottle for that 1 month. It hasn't been recreated since. It's been 2 years. It happens.
So the Rodriguez system and those coaches, barring the fact that he had that injury, let's just say he didn't get injured.
What are you saying?
I'm just wondering if that would have made any difference for Khalil.
He had a great October of 2017. Is that right?
I might be needing to change my percentage because this conversation is making it feel more like it would be a Khalil Tate thing than anybody else.
More so too. I think your percentages are a little low.
Yeah.
Hey, a great October, not a good November. Circle back to 18. September, no.
He gets hurt in the second
October,
game.
No. November, no. December. So,
but he was dealing with the injury, his leg.
So, well, it's part of the life. It's part of life.
That's the reality. I mean, you can't. It's hard to live in the hypothetical world with that.
Yeah. That's why he ain't playing for Stoops. Let's take a break here.
Thanks for reminding me. Boy, there was some guy. What was his name?
We're running out of time here.
Nick Foles or something like that.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. 30 minutes to the end of the week. Big game tomorrow. You watching the game? You're going to be up late watching football. I guess I have to watch.
Yeah, you're supposed to be watching too, Steve.
Okay. Don't make me. And then guess what?
We get to do it from the comfort of our own home, though.
Yes, which is good, because I think, the star's not going. It's, wow. This is a big game. It's 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago? Arizona was playing in the Southern Division Championship with the Pac-2. Five years ago?
And everyone thought they would lose this game. This was the game that, they're going to lose. And then the story will be over. And everyone will forget.
And they won. I have some theories about that win, too. I'll tell you.
You do have a radio show that you could.
I could talk about it. We'll talk about it when it really comes up back in the day. Maybe at a different time. But the real win was loss was when they went in the championship game and got crushed. And Oregon has a lot to play for.
Yeah.
Because they're still in the hunt for the Final Four.
Well, and that's the tough part for Arizona. And some of the players we're talking about this week is that. But they're like, well, we're part of the Pac-12 too. We kind of want to see a Pac-12 team in the playoff. It would be nice. But we don't necessarily want them to beat us. But we would want to see a team in the playoff. And both of those teams that are in contention are now going to play Arizona over the next 3 weeks.
Right. Next week. So, enough about football. Yeah.
Sure.
One more thing on football. You know that Mr. Chuck Cecil,
mm-hmm.
is in a no-win situation?
Absolutely.
He, no matter what he does, if they show up and play really well, what do you do? And plays bad, what do you do? And everyone's talking about who are they going to get. He's a pretty good defensive coordinator. I shouldn't say that.
He hasn't shown it so far. And again, that was a difficult situation to come in where you have a few days to basically come up with a game plan. And I'm sure you have an idea of what you want to do and what you hope to do, but you're still doing it with someone else's players and you're still trying to work within the framework of someone else's defense. So.
Do you think these three games will be enough for him to show what he can do?
No. Someone knows what he's going to do already. You know what you're going to do, don't you think?
And I also think, what can he really show in these three games? It's not going to have his imprint at all.
No.
You're making the decision based on what you think he could be. If you decide to bring him on full-time, you're making that decision based on, this is what I think he can do.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to show enough in these next three games to do that.
What's the likelihood that someone would like to bring on one of his past defensive coordinators?
Well, wasn't Yates one?
Well, yeah, but he was actually Rodriguez, coordinator, but he had an association with Sumlin.
Yeah.
But who was his last defensive coordinator when he was...
If it's a guy that gave up all those points against UCLA one night on the comeback, not so much. It's the magic's not there.
Yeah, the thing with coaches and what they tend to do is stick within what they know and who they know.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of times gets guys in trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're in the situation they're in.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't get let go at Houston because, well, he was an okay coach. They didn't pay him $10 million just to stick around.
Texas A&M?
Yeah, what did I say?
Houston,
yeah, Texas A&M.
Are coaches like Larry Smith and Dick Tomey a rare commodity anymore, guys that can take what they're given and mold them into good teams,
no,
good players?
I don't think they're a rare commodity. We just don't see it because it's not in front of us. I would assume that Minnesota, the coach at Minnesota, there's a few of those coaches. We just don't see them, but we see them doing well at other places. I mean, come on. Even Sonny Dykes, he's had this reputation of being a good coach. He went to Cal, didn't do well there for whatever reason. SMU turned into this team into a winner. A pretty good winner. I mean, you have those people. They're everywhere. Good coaches are like that. We just don't know enough of them.
Yeah, the thing is that when you look at how programs are making their hires, they're making hires based off very small glimpses of a lot of success,
mm-hmm.
and they're dumping a bunch of money into it, and then it's falling apart, and then someone else will hire that same guy. There's a lot of retreads. There's a lot of guys mm-hmm. who had small moments in the grand span of college football history that are getting paid a lot of money.
But with Larry Smith and Dick Tomey, they didn't really have a resume.
Well,
I mean, Smith was the coach at Tulane, and Tomey was the coach at Hawaii, and that was pretty much it.
But you're seeing a lot of situations that play out. The reason those guys, you're not seeing them and why they're not coming to the forefront is because a school like Arizona will hire Kevin Sumlin,
mm-hmm.
who just got fired from Texas A&M,
right.
and that's what you have. And then you just have a lot of programs doing that. there are very few programs that are taking chances on guys that might not work out. They'd rather go with the person who proved something at one point, right, whether they just came off a good program or good winning season.
Do you think Arizona expected that Sumlin would have the pull power to bring in better players?
Of course. I mean, that's what he's known for, isn't he?
Yeah. You wouldn't make that hire unless you thought that.
Right, right, right. Long term. In fact, I was going to tell you, because you're familiar with this team, the LA Rams, and you're going to tell me the coach's name, but Mr. Hotshot, young guy, and now all of a sudden he's not that a guy anymore in 1 or 2 years, correct?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of teams like that.
You're as good as your last haircut.
What about the Atlanta Falcons?
Same thing.
How terrible they are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh, this up and coming, he's winning some games, showing some fun. A year later, not so much.
Every coaching hire is a crapshoot. You just, everyone. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if they've proven something at their last stop, if you think they're the next big name.
Right.
And that's why when you get a guy like P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, it could all go downhill season.
Sure.
Right now, he's the right guy, so you have to lock him up. You're in a tough position. You have to lock him up for 7 years or whatever they gave him that contract extension, because he's proving it right now.
Right. We'll see what happens. We'll think about that another time. You gave me some coaching situation a couple days ago, and we'll talk about some other time.
Well, you've pretty much answered it even just now, but the conversation you had with Matt. So,
Okay, let's end with football. Let's end this. So they have a game. So what have you liked about Arizona? They looked really good. I haven't talked to you since their Sunday game, right? Sunday, they looked, I was very impressed. And not so much of, I was very impressed with the number of levels. They ran, they looked good running, they shot the ball well, and Sean let them do that, or instructed them to do that. I wrote about that right away. That was the first thing. You know, it's funny, we had this exchange, him and I. You want us to run?
Sean Miller was joking with the media.
He was joking.
Different guy.
With me.
With Steve. with Steve. Make that very clear.
Yeah. Was he going to joke with anybody else?
No.
I'm just being serious. But he's doing it. Even last night, I watched him because I've never seen him. I can't remember seeing him. Let's go. Move it. Have you?
No.
And he was telling me, Chase, Mannion.
Nico.
I want to say Pace, his dad.
And Josh Green.
All these guys, let's go. And I've never seen him, which is very encouraging to me.
Which links back into our Khalil Tate conversation. And why would anybody tell the guy to not run the ball?
To not run the ball.
At a certain point, as much as you want to impose your system and your style of play, when you have the players to do so,
go.
It's hard to not just say, hey, go do what you do.
Go, yeah. Yeah.
And Nico, when they him and Josh both talked about it, that's what we do. That's what those players do. And there was a play in the game yesterday that Nico got it up ahead, and Josh Green got a dunk, a breakaway dunk. And I've seen that play 1,000 times before.
Right.
It's who they are. Right. And when you can combine them with the rest of the group, and when you look at what their makeup is of this roster, it's built to do that.
It's funny because I didn't write this play down, but I think it was Josh threw a pass to somebody down. It was a fast break. He found the guy open, passed it down, got the great assist, and Sean pointed. You know how you give the assist and you point to the guy. And Sean was doing this. I'm thinking, Sean doesn't do this.
No.
He was pointing to a great pass, yada, yada. It was like, Sean's like 19 years old again.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing I think I've noticed with him and with the style of play and with what Arizona's doing. A lot of the things that fans want to poke fun at or pick apart about this team and have done so in the past, they can't really do that with these guys right now.
No.
Lately, the last few years, it's been the zone offense. You don't know how to attack a zone. Last night, obviously, personnel plays a huge part in it. Mm-hmm. Zeke Nagy is different than what they've had before. He is someone who can get into the middle of the zone and hit a jump shot. Mm-hmm. And that changes a lot of things when he's in the high post. But Stone Gettings, someone else.
Gettings and Nagy,
They both, with Gettings, he stepped out and hit threes. And he hit from the mid-range, and that changes the game. But that was something else that you could have said negative about this team and a Sean Miller team. Oh, they don't know how to attack the zone. They're doing that right now. They're playing fast, like you said, and playing to their strengths. And a lot of that comes from Sean Miller saying, I'm just going to let them do what they do, which he addressed this as well yesterday. Mm-hmm. He likes coaching this team.
Yeah, yeah. That faster up-court play, that's not allowing them to set up their zone so much either.
Right. Well, the one thing that thing that we haven't talked about yet, and I wanted to ask him about this. This is probably his best shooting team since he's been here, from the perimeter,
top to bottom.
He has Manny who can shoot it, maybe a little streaky, but better, more or less streaky than anything. He's a better shooter than not streaky. Josh Green, a streaky shooter, but a good shooter.
Yeah.
And then Smith can possibly be better. He and everybody else, Baker. can shoot it.
Max is making the Gettings right now.
Max, yeah.
Gettings, this is the best. To me, it is. I could be wrong. I might ask him this on Sunday, but this is. And how does that
help?
You
would probably much rather have this as a coach. Maybe there's guys that are going to have off nights, but you have more options that will hit, sure, as opposed to having someone like Alonzo Trier or having someone like Gabe York. You say, that's our guy. And if he's off, the whole team is off because we don't have very many shooters. Whereas right now, if someone's off, you can kind of make up for it in other ways because so many other guys can make shots.
Let me temper that by saying, and back in 97, 98, specifically 98, they had Miles, they had Bibby, they had Dickerson, those three guys. And they played so well. They were unbelievable during the 98 year. And you said, there's no way all three are going to tank it. No way. And that one game came, and all three tanked it, and Utah won. But do you know what I'm saying? You have all these options,
yeah.
But it just takes that one game. May not be in November, may not be December.
And not that this is a similar team, but...
You understand the point.
It could come against Buffalo.
But Miller has got to feel good about being able to put five guys in off the bench and bring his starters in and not really lose anything.
That was my story from yesterday. You may not be that same level, but you're very close to it.
I wrote about that today. I think the quality and depth is maybe better than we've ever seen for a Sean Miller team here.
And he talked about playing 10, 11 guys.
Yeah, and again, another thing where his normal pattern is to not do that,
right,
where the roster and the personnel are probably going to force him to do that, to go out of what his comfort zone is and play more guys.
Right. He was lucky to have eight in the past.
Yeah.
You know?
And now it's
10 or 11.
And you have to remember, there's two key pieces that aren't going to be on the floor this year.
Brandon Williams.
And Jordan Brown.
Is there any chance that Brandon will get back in late January or early February?
No,
okay.
He's done. So we'll see. Let's take a break. Take our final break here on 10:30 The Voice. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. We have about 10 minutes left. So what do you really like about... Give me three things you like about Arizona basketball.
Zeke Nagy could be all three for me, but he's number one. The quality of depth, again. I just think that that talent, to go that deep with that much talent. And then I think just the... He kind of touched on it. The character, personalities, chemistry, all that kind of jumbled into one.
Yeah, I wish we'd have more time. I haven't been there, but he had more time to talk about that or to do those stories.
Yeah.
Because you won't until March.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with him. I agree. Yeah.
And do you think that it looks to me like, anyway, that virtually to a man, they're all buying in to Miller's way of thinking as far as defense and everything. They're trying to do better on defense, Josh Green particularly.
Let's also say this. It's November 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think to your point, maybe off air.
Yeah.
It's still early. Once they get punched, what's Mike Tyson's? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face or whatever, something like that. When these guys see some adversity, we'll see how they're built.
Yeah.
And that could come in December.
Could come in. What does it really
Gonzaga
matter? What does it really matter? You get better from it. You at least you'd hope to. But remember, in Bahamas, by this time in the Bahamas, they had been beaten three straight times and they'd never recovered.
No.
They didn't have that identity. I think this team has that.
Yeah, I think this team is more well-built to deal with that type of adversity.
What, less ego?
But don't you think this team is already playing better defense than the last two teams?
I don't know. The 2 years ago...
I mean, as a team. There were some individual players.
I don't know. It's too early to tell because they haven't really played anybody. But 2 years ago, the only thing that Arizona had, a little talent, good talent, ego. Ego crushed that team. Yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
And last year, you know what crushed that team? No talent.
No talent. They could have been the most, the highest character, best chemistry.
Yeah.
The talent was always going to outweigh everything
else. Sure. They had. What did you like about last year's team?
What are you getting at?
What did they give? What did they bring to the table?
Not a lot.
You know what this team has? It is the table.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, of all of Miller's teams, this one seems to be the most complete with regard to all of the things that you're talking about.
I don't know that. At least my...
It just seems at this point.
I like where you're going with that, but, those 2014, 2015, pretty darn good teams. pretty talented and well-liked. They liked each other. Chemistry was fantastic. Guess what happened? They ran into a team that was just a little bit better. True?
Yeah. No, I mean, we were talking off air. It's all about the path.
Mm-hmm.
So right now it's about setting yourself up to be in position to have the best path. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen when you have the best path.
Yeah, yeah. You try to
look at what happened. Nobody should know more about that than Arizona fans. Mm-hmm. What happened when it all lined up? It was about the path. You had the hardest path.
Mm-hmm. Phoenix?
Yeah.
In 2017?
No, I'm saying when Arizona won the title.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Sure, sure. And then 18, in 1998.
Easiest path doesn't mean anything.
No.
Hardest path doesn't mean anything, but
it's how you play that day for six straight games.
Yeah.
And as long as no egos pop out to mess things up.
That has killed a lot of good teams that I've seen.
And I think the thing that stands out with this team is you can get fresh into buy-in. You can do that.
Right.
The more difficult part is getting players who have been around for a long time to say, I'll defer to a 17, 18-year-old
kid. Right. Well, stay in your lane. Like the Hazard, he's coming here to win.
And I think that's where the most important blend of this thing is taking place, is that you have guys like Max Hazard. What does he want to do? He just wants to win.
He just wants to play.
What does Stone Gettings want? He wants to be on a good team. He played at Cornell.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to be on a good basketball team.
Right. Same story.
Chase Jeter.
Yeah.
All those guys.
Yeah.
So you need them to buy in probably even more than you need the freshmen. The freshmen know what their roles are going to be. They know what is expected of them.
No question. Other
guys are the ones who need to buy in.
No question. In fact, that question was kind of asked last night in terms of the chemistry, the way it's been put together. I didn't like his answer because it was kind of like, you know, whatever. But I think as we move forward, we'll know more of how it's put together for the long haul. In fact, he even talked about his depth and he knocked on wood because he knows better than anybody.
Assuming everyone stays healthy through the course of the season, which is a big ask.
Yes.
I take this team over a lot of the other teams that he's had.
Me too. He's got 10,
maybe,
now 11.
Maybe only one other.
This is the 11th team. I'm with you. If it's not two, it's three.
Yeah.
Well, and when you look back at the players that he got on his previous teams, did he just get lucky this time around?
In terms of
getting the character, the kind of players that
I think it was deliberately done.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also some luck into that's part of that because you had guys like Josh Green and Nico Mannion who were from the area,
mm-hmm.
who also just happened to like Arizona, who also happened to come from just very good backgrounds and good families.
Right.
So yes, there is some luck involved, but I think it was done deliberately. I think there was a very clear plan of a point when Sean Miller
said, he's just been unlucky in the past.
No. Circumstances. Things happen. No, you can't say, unlucky is not the right word.
It's a lot of gray area, and it's not as cut and dry as people would hope it would be.
Yeah.
There's no magic formula.
It's also hard to evaluate. You don't know how they're going to...
Yeah.
As much recruiting as you do...
What's the divorce rate in this world? 60%? Two people can't even get along sometimes. You're asking for 8 or 9?
Yeah.
Now maybe 11?
Yeah.
You know, we'll know more as the season goes on when they get hit in the face and see what happens, how they respond. But I like the chances.
Yeah.
So early January, we'll have a good picture, do you think?
Yeah, well, see, they're still picked to finish fourth in this league. I think they'll finish second or third.
When do they play Oregon first time?
I don't know.
I think it's pretty early on in the Pac-12 schedule. I believe it's the second week.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they go to the Oregon schools.
And even then, what does it matter if they win or lose? Yeah. You know, you have two more in the path.
Yeah.
I like that word. It's the path of how you play and how you play that day. Styles make fights, blah, blah, blah. Maybe this day that they'll find a team that slows them down purposely.
And I also think losses aren't going to hurt him as much. I don't think he's going to be as angry about losses this season as he typically would in other years.
Yeah, I totally agree with that too.
Because I think he understands that. I think he understands what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a master at it.
Yeah.
You know, it gives them a reason to kind of get them refocused. They're still young. They want to learn. And they're winners. He brings that up a lot.
They're playing at Baylor this year.
I thought
they would be playing here. Huh.
No. So he's got the right mindset. They're winners. They like to win. They know how to win.
The first week of January is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm not going to be in town that weekend. So
you're going to play Arizona State, Oregon.
That's what he's trying to get. That's what he's trying to get at.
Tucson's going to be good because I'm not going to be in town. The economy's going to go down.
So early January, we're going to be seeing something.
Well, mid-January. A week later, they play Gonzaga.
Well, they play Gonzaga in December.
Right. You're talking about, I'm talking about December. You're talking about, you said Baylor and then Gonzaga?
Yeah.
So?
But didn't they play Baylor in Texas last season? Or the last time they played Baylor?
No, they played here.
They did?
Yeah.
Your memory, I'm not talking to you anymore.
I know. I don't blame you. I don't talk to myself sometimes.
So we'll see. I like this team. I've written it already. He likes this team. That's why I asked him the question. He's not going to say, no, I don't like this team.
Yeah.
But you knew what he was going to say. That's why I asked him the question. You know what he's going to say.
You can also see body language.
Oh, sure.
That tells you a lot.
Sure. On the sideline? Oh, yes. On very
press
much
conferences,
so.
Anywhere.
It's very funny because did you see how he came into the room yesterday?
Yeah.
Very kind of.
He was laughing.
He was like, you know, are you like, hey, you know. And he doesn't do that.
No.
Did you read me today?
You know what I noticed?
You never read me. Go ahead.
He's in the past, he would get so worked up that he would start going, he'd be coughing, trying to, you know, get his throat going again. I haven't noticed that this time around.
I think he lives for those moments because it means he gets to really coach basketball. I think he likes those moments.
I wish I could go another hour, but sorry, guys, I can't. I'm going to miss you guys. I'll see you. Maybe I'll see you tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
See where we watch the game.
If not Sunday.
I don't know if I want to be with you till midnight watching this game. Thanks, everybody, to listen today, this week. We'll talk to you next week. Talk more about UA basketball and see what happens tomorrow in football. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Party
the voice.
Party at Steve's house.
Yes.